FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and the date is August 2nd, 2016. And, well, the metals have been on a tear. Looks like silver is finally going to break its 50-month moving average at $20.50 today. Wasn't sure we were going to live long enough to see that one, Ned Schmidt, but here he is. Ned Schmidt of the Value View Gold Report and the Agri-Food Value View. And welcome back, Ned. Hey, and gold is at $1,365, and who would have thunk it, right?
I thought it. You thought it.
Yeah, I know. But
only the people that think Apple buying a taxi cab company in China didn't think it was a good idea.
Yeah.
But gold right now is a free lunch, Kerry.
Yeah.
It's just what gold bugs had dreamed about in decades past seems to be coming to happen all of a sudden.
Yeah.
The old gold bugs always said someday the central banks with their largesse, foolishness, would ultimately move to destroy the value of fiat money. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. Every country, well, we can't say every, you know, there's got to be one somewhere we don't know about, is trying to depreciate the value of their money to juice their economy. I mean, the EU is doing it, the British are doing it, the Japanese are doing it as fast as they can. China to a lesser degree. And then you turn to the United States, where there isn't an intellectual backbone in a single member of the Federal Reserve. The July meeting was the last chance they had to show that they were serious about monetary policy, and they caved. Now, the Federal Reserve is not going to act before the November election, and it's unlikely to act till after the inauguration. So we've got at least a six-month window where there is no risk of the Federal Reserve interfering with what is now a global bull market in gold. I mean, if you go around and look at gold priced in other currencies, in other words, if you're an EU citizen, you look at gold priced in euros. If you live in India, you look at it priced in rupees. All of those charts are going up. You don't need a fancy software to understand up. Up is toward the top. Sure we get that. Up is toward the top.
That's how those charts work, huh? I couldn't figure that one out.
Maybe that was your
scratching my head.
Along.
Yeah. Oh, now thanks for that. Now I got it.
One of the old rules back when we did charts by hand was at some point you would run to the end of the graph paper.
Yeah.
For those of you under 25, you're going to have to Google graph paper so you know what that is.
Yeah.
But when you got to the end of the paper, you had to tape on another piece of graph paper.
I remember that.
And the direction you taped it was the direction the price was going to go. Well, you look at the precious metals, we're running through the top of the charts again.
Yeah.
And
more graph
we're getting
paper.
Ready. Yeah. Yeah. It's really not hard now, guys. Now, on a short-term basis, there were some people that thought that the Federal Reserve might do something serious at the July meeting. And it did sell down and got oversold before the meeting. But now it is overbought. But that happens when you're in the, let's call it the blowing through price level stage, because the intraday high on gold is about 1376. Mm-hmm. What did you say? We're at 1367.
Yeah.
So we're essentially just a few dollars from taking out the last meaningful intraday high. Now on silver, that's a little harder to judge. I think it's about 2085. And we got right at that level this morning on an intraday basis. So if we move through, if we move to 21 this week, that's just, you know, you got to be on the silver train because it's just left the station again.
Yeah.
And that is, and that has set up the gold stocks for what has been probably one of the most, the greatest rallies of all times. I mean, you know, we're trying to work on 200%, but I think we're close to the end of phase one with the gold stocks. Gold stocks, that's the phase where we come out of those ridiculous lows on the stocks and on the metals, and it propelled us, you know, with these gigantic rates of return. Now, the second phase is when the companies start generating earnings and start beating the estimates. And I think Newmont signaled that with their second quarter report. Now, they beat on every measure, on earnings, on revenues, on the price received for their gold. The price they received for the gold is the key to a gold mine. Mm-hmm. And that had finally worked through. In other words, we bottomed in December, but it takes 6 months to a year for some of these companies. So the price they received jumped up. I think it was about $12.50. At the same time, both of their cost measures went down. There was both of the cost measures they use on gold companies went down. At the same time, production went up. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no, you know, that was a home run report. Now, the other companies have not been as good as you would expect.
Sure.
So Newmont, I think, is signaling that when we get third quarter earnings results, which will come at the toward the end of October, we're going to see some good comparisons, and they're likely going to be estimates. More of the companies will likely beat estimates. There'll always be a laggard here for a while. So these stocks, while you sense they probably should be done for a while, they've still got the wind at their back from the price of the metals, and they're going to start making good reports when they release their earnings. And that's going to keep the energy going, but at a slower rate.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like this is going to be a good season on that show, Gold Rush, too, you know?
I think what people need to do now is just be careful when they buy. I mean, you don't want to be buying the morning that the street is pouring into the futures, mm-hmm. and setting that gap up. You got to just be a little careful when you buy. I mean,
for sure.
And that's something people tend to have a tough time doing when we get into one of these environments where things are looking good.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I don't think, Kerry, that the investment world has acquiesced to a gold bull market.
No, definitely not. I still got trolls telling me this is a dead cat bounce. You know, it's going to go to 500. I mean, yeah, like what is there out there in the real world that's going to drive the price of precious metals to 500? I mean, I'd like to understand, you know, of gold to 500. I'm not seeing it.
I don't understand their thinking.
Yeah.
And sometimes people get trapped. Sometimes people get trapped in long-term charts where they drew in long-term trend lines that have long since been meaningless, and they just keep pointing them down, and that traps them.
Yep.
And so,
yeah, that's it. That's it. They just keep extrapolating.
You know, and there was an article I read the other day. I don't even remember what website it was on, but it was. I always liked the comments section because it was all these people saying there's no gold, long-term gold return on gold. The same old bull Buffett puts out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not true. I mean, since Christmas of 1997, which is working on, which is almost 19 years, gold has outperformed the S&P 500.
Correct.
For 10 years it has. For 15 years it has. The one that has a problem with a long-term return is the U.S. stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't believe that. But I think it's coming, though, because the return on gold, the 1 year return today was 25%, and on silver it was 40%. The stock, U.S. stock market's only up 2%. And let's add another 2% for dividends. That's 4. Subtract 2 for fees, and all the people that have their money with financial advisors are going to be sitting down at reports and say, for the whole last year, they only earned 2%, and gold was up 25%. How comes I don't have some of this? And the guy's going to look at him and say, well, but Apple is bought into a Chinese taxi company. I mean, you got to be part of it.
Yeah, and Uber's about to go public. Don't forget that, right? Yeah. Got to get some Uber.
They're going to turn around and tell these people this stuff, and people are going to look at them like they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we might be, in terms of interest in the public, at about 10% or something like that right now.
If that.
Yeah, I know. But
gold is risky.
I'm sorry, what?
Gold is risky. You know that.
Gold is risky, yeah. Right. Yeah. So. Gold is risky. There's never been a day that I know about where gold was worth zero. But there have been more than multiple days when the U.S. stock market was closed and people's stocks were worth zero. SPAC on the day the stock market's closed is worth zero, folks.
That's correct.
You can't get in cash for it.
Yep.
But I think people, if they don't have some, it's time to at least get some. Okay? Because there's two positions that are wrong, 0% and 100%.
Yeah.
Those are always two wrong positions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Hey, so while we have time, Ags, what's going on with the Ags now? You're my go-to person for that.
Well, we're in a weather market right now. The commodity traders have all decided they can forecast the weather, and so.
Well, that's a good one. Did they know we weren't going to have any hurricanes in Florida for the past 11 years? Have they figured that one out? Did they know
but
that?
But climate change is going to bring us one of these days.
Yeah, right.
So what they've done the last 3 weeks is crush corn and soybeans. And weather markets are always reversed. But more, I think what investors need to look at is those things in ag. There's a couple things in ag that don't require corn to go to $8 a bushel this year. And don't need a stock market that's roaring. I don't think the stock market's going to do much. So you got Monsanto at about 107. The current bid from Bayer is 125. Monsanto says no. And I think they want something more like 150.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some money to be made in Monsanto, admitting there's always a risk the deal could collapse. I mean, I can't predict that. The other two are JBS. Now, this stock closed the month at its highest monthly close since October. This is the big Brazilian meat company. They are going to restructure the company and put all their non-Brazilian meat activities in JB Food International, which will be based in Ireland with primary trading in the United States. So this is going to be a stock that portfolio managers are going to need to own, because it will be the only New York-based big company in the meat industry. It will be the world's largest global meat company. And so this is one investors should look at. It's an ADR. The company's still primary traded in Brazil. It's going to be volatile. I think investors should look at that. FMC is a crop protection company, insecticides and pesticides. With Monsanto and Syngenta disappearing, portfolio managers are going to continue to be moving money into FMC to maintain their exposure to that industry. And until DuPont and Dow get married, it's going to be the only decent-sized cap in the crop protection business. So I think investors can look at those three, and they don't really have to worry about what the price of corn is today or what the stock market's really doing.
Uh-huh. Interesting play there. Interesting play. And I just want to go back to silver. So silver, you're thinking is it's going to break out soon, huh?
That's what it's trying to do. I mean, we've got to an intraday high that goes back years. And if it touches 2190, I mean, that's going to bring more people in, because I'm not the only person that's got a chart.
Even if you're the only one that still does them by hand, huh, Ned?
I did finally go to a computer.
Or remembers how to do them by hand. Let's just say that.
Yeah,
right?
but barely. Memories.
With graphing paper.
I don't even remember when politicians were honest.
Yeah, well, you got me there, because I have no recollection of that one. So... God, that's so funny. But it's amazing how we used to do things once upon a time, isn't it? So silver breakout, it's looking more and more kind of inevitable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, if I ever saw free lunch, it's gold and silver.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, silver's been holding back all this time. Gold's been moving ahead. I mean, how much is gold up since the beginning of the year when it started its breakout? No, 20-something percent, 27, yeah. 28.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, what's been holding the metals back has been the selling by commercials.
Mm.
Gold miners, their hedge reached 37 million ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And we've now had 3 weeks of that coming down. The silver hedge, I think, is still getting bigger. I don't track that one, but the silver hedge, and this is what's been capping prices of these producers going short the metals to hedge their books. So that's what's been holding them back. And if we've reached the day we reach a limit on that, then the caps come off silver and gold.
Yeah, you think that day is coming, huh?
Right. Oh, there's always an end to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always an end to selling and buying.
Yes, that we know. Well, hey, so anyways, I suggest you go take a look at Ned's publications, the valueviewgoldreport.com and the agrifoodvalueview.com. And he's been publishing them forever. And hey, it's always great talking to you, Ned. Have you been publishing them since you used to graph out charts by hand?
Yeah.
Wow. So
right about the transition.
Mm-hmm.
It was before the transition. Yeah. But, you know, the one beauty of paper charts versus computers is you are much more intimately familiar with the data.
Yeah.
And so
that's,
I suggest people, if they're tracking something, fill the spreadsheet and become immersed in the data, and you'll know more than a guy using regular software.
You know, that is a great point. And you can do that, too, without necessarily having to do it by hand. If you actually go back to where you get the data from, like, I was kind of a pioneer in what's now called data mining. We didn't know it was called data mining when we were doing it. So we would, like, strip out data from spreadsheets and from databases manually, and then we would go and put it back into a new spreadsheet or into a new database, so we'd actually see where the data came from, or take it from the original source document, which now would be considered basically drone work, you know. Back then, this is the way you did it. You didn't have all these automated macros and stuff to do all the work for you, and it was you when you got personally familiar with the data, you saw patterns in it, and you just don't really get that familiar with the data now. I think that's what you're saying, because you just strip it gets stripped out automatically. You never see where the data comes from. To you, it's just numbers on a chart, and you never really, like you say, you're not really up on the data. You just don't really know about it, and you lose something from it. And to this day, when I really want to get up on data, I'll go back to spreadsheets and zoom to where the data came from, you know, the pivot view, whatever, and actually look at the stuff and look at several thousand records and really look at it. I think it's a lost art, what you're talking about. You know, nowadays MBAs, really an MBA is just somebody that went to business school and got a degree in spreadsheets, right? Isn't that what
it is? That's correct. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. And they are better than me at it. My kids are better at spreadsheets than me. But when it comes to knowing what that data means, really, they don't have a clue. So
that's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so interesting the way things develop. Progress isn't really always progress, is it?
No.
You know,
it's just a step forward.
Yeah. It's a step forward in time, but not necessarily a step forward in knowledge. And yeah. So anyway, Ned, we'll talk to you like next month, see what's going on. But I think a lot of interesting things are taking place. A lot of trends that aren't necessarily, people are not necessarily aware of, because you're really not looking at the underlying data, which really all data does is tell a story. And if you don't really see the underlying data, you really miss the story, a lot of it. So anyways, you'll find links to Ned's sites on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you take a look at it. Sign up for our newsletter, which will resume production next week. And while you're there, take a look at the stories. Got stories from all over the globe, alternative media, because I know you're not going to believe this, Ned, but the mainstream media does not always tell you the truth.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I know you're incredulous about that, but they don't always tell you the truth. It's hard to believe in this day and age that that could happen, huh?
That's amazing.
Well, you're shocked, aren't you, huh?
You be careful with those mosquitoes down there,
Kurt. Oh, Christ. Yeah, well, I don't go out that much, but, you know, like, luckily my child-rearing years are past, so what can you do? You know, it doesn't seem to affect anything else, from what I understand. So, yeah, be careful of the Zika virus. I mean, it's spreading in Florida. They're going door to door in Miami. It's starting to become a panic, affecting tourism. But hey, we'll leave that to the medical professionals and the mainstream media to deal with, right?
That's correct.
All right, Ned, you be well. It's always a pleasure.
All right, take care. Goodbye.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.